Listen up, it's time for Talk Can Audio, hosted by Matt Robinson. We're about to go. Craft beer and sports, that's all we know. Raise a glass, let the good times flow. Grab a tall can, crack it open with pride. Loud voices, heavy beats, we're taking it in stride. From the ring to the field, we cover it all. Tune in now, prepare for the brawl. Tall can warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of craft beer and sport. Tall can audio, we hold down the fort.
All right, episode 1287 of Tall Can Audio, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. My name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for checking in with us again today. It's going to be a good one. Make sure you are subscribed to the show wherever you're hearing us right now. Hit follow, hit subscribe. Make sure you stick around. And we'd love it if you'd follow us on social media at Tall Can Audio, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you are. We are at Tall Can Audio. Would love to hear what you think and get your feedback on everything that's going on in the world of sports. And of course, in the world of craft beer, it's going to be a good show today. We're talking to our friend Dan Schulman. We're always very grateful, makes a little time for us. He's a pretty busy guy, as you may understand. Baseball now, full swing, and no pun intended, every day he's out there calling games, and so not easy to find a time. He was generous enough to give us a little bit of his again today, so we thank him for that. We'll get to it in just a second. If you missed it, on Tuesday morning, episode 1285, our buddy Steve Bunda was back in here helping us wind down that... I guess we're calling it a long weekend. It was a long weekend. We've been debating this all week. It's a 3-day long weekend for some people. It's a 4-day long weekend for others. Steve Bunda was here on Tuesday. We talked about that. Some Easter traditions, if those are a thing for you. Little hockey, little baseball, all kinds of that. Episode 1286. After missing two straight Mondays and going to be away again next Monday, Rob decided he'd come in midweek and drop in just to talk to you guys, right? See what's going on. And so he was here on episode 1286. That was on Wednesday morning. And that brings us to where we are now. But this will not be it for the week. On Friday, oh, I know you're all excited. I'm excited. It's WrestleMania week. Our buddy Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet will be here to tee up WWE WrestleMania. We'll do that on Friday, so stick around for all of it. With that, we bring him in, the voice of your Toronto Blue Jays from Sportsnet. It's Dan Schulman. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm well, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I know you're still in Houston, getting ready to move on to New York. How has the first week or so of the season been?
It's been great. It's always exciting. It felt a little bit different this year because, the Blue Jays, normally you get on a plane at the end of spring training and either go to your home city or go to your first road series. But we all just got in our cars and drove from Dunedin to St. Petersburg. So it was for a little while, it kind of felt like an extension of spring training, too, like the Trop doesn't have that much vibe and all that stuff. So it's obviously felt more real here in Houston. And certainly with the game that we had last night on Tuesday night with the dramatic home run from Davis Schneider, like it definitely feels like the regular season. If the first week is any indication, each day could bring the highest of highs or the lowest of lows. And to me, the fan base feels like they're already in like September mode and everybody's got to pace themselves emotionally. It's a long, long season.
I have to remind myself that Twitter is not the real world because my Twitter feed is already, as you said, at times a little intolerable. And honestly, I'm contributing to it. So it's partly my own fault. I do want to ask you, before we get too deep into the weeds on the Blue Jays, I know you're a big NCAA guy, and I'm curious, with March Madness going on right now, I fully admit, and our listeners here know, that I don't follow college basketball all that closely. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I'm curious if you can back me up on this or correct me on this, it feels maybe more than any year I've ever watched before like the women's tournament is right there on par with the men's tournament. Is that just a bubble that I'm in, or is that how it's coming across down there as well?
No, I think that's fair. And part of it is Caitlin Clark, the unbelievable player at Iowa. And, they just beat LSU in the Elite Eight in a rematch of the national championship game. And then you have UConn, this perennial power. They had a big win over USC in an exciting game to get to the Final Four. So there are a lot of things at play. Caitlin Clark is the biggest part of it. And she has not won a national championship. It would be awesome if she could win one. They made it to the final last year, but got beat by LSU then. But there's no question that the women's game is more popular now than it's ever been.
Is she, you know, across the men's tournament, I know March Madness is always a huge deal, and for a long time it always has been on the men's side. Is she across the board, whether it be in the men's or the women's tournament, is she the biggest star this year in NCAA basketball?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a guy at North Carolina State, DJ Burns, who's become like a cult hero. They went into the ACC tournament having to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, and they did. They won 5 games in 5 days to do it, and now they've won 4 games to get to the Final Four on the men's side. So they've played, in effect, 9 elimination games, wow. And game by game, he's become a bigger and bigger star, and people love him. He's just a unique talent, and he's very fun to watch. And, you know, Zach Edey, a Canadian guy, obviously from Toronto with Purdue, he's a big star. So, but I think Caitlin Clark is right there. I don't know if she would be a little ahead of them or they would be a little ahead of her. But I think in terms of notoriety and you look at NBA players talking about her sometimes more than they're talking about players on the men's side. So she's right there. I mean, you score 41 points and have 12 assists. It's not like 41 points and no assists. 41 points and 12 assists in a game that gets your school into the Final Four. You're going to get a lot of attention, and deservedly so.
Who do you like on the men's and the women's side?
The women's, I'm not enough of an expert. I don't cover the women's game, so I don't want to steer anybody in the wrong direction. Sure. Again, I think it would be great if she could win one, because I think it would be the crowning achievement of what's been a remarkable career if Clark and Iowa could win one. Connecticut has been the best team for most of the season on the men's side. That's not to say they're going to win it, because in the college world of one and done, where you lose once and you're out, crazy stuff happens. But I do think it'll be Connecticut and Purdue in the final. I'd be very, very surprised if either game went the other way. And I think Connecticut will win. I think they've been great all year. They are hard-nosed. They're tough. They're incredibly well-coached, although Purdue is as well. And I just think they've got so many weapons and such a belief in themselves because they won the championship last year. And there's been a little turnover, obviously, as there always is. But I would guess Connecticut beats Purdue on Monday night.
Let me ask you about the Blue Jays then, Dan. And you know, we've sort of, you mentioned off the top there that fans are going to have to be able to remember that this is a 162-game season, and there's going to be some ups and downs, and we have already seen that just, 6 games into the season as you and I sit here. I'm curious about the offense and the lineup and what we've seen thus far, because they've been no-hit once, but they've also had 2 games where they've scored 8 and 9 runs. The game on Tuesday night, game 2 in Houston, looked like it was heading towards another kind of disastrous, low offensive loss, and until Davis Schneider pulls that out. I'm curious, as we are incredibly early into this, are you seeing a different team-wide approach at all? They talked about that in spring training. Is it obviously too soon to make any predictions or see any patterns, but do you, when you look at them, see them doing anything different from last year at the plate that suggests this may not be as frustrating a year as it was last year?
I do. I mean, and we've talked about it on the air in the spring and in the regular season. You know, the mantra from Don Mattingly on down was don't chase what you can't do damage with early in the count. Like when you get to 2 strikes, you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But early on, lay off the borderline stuff, or if that zone is not good for you, just don't swing at it. And some guys are better with that than others. I do see a willingness and an effort to do that, but I don't know if that in and of itself is enough to make this into a better offensive team. You know, it's funny, everybody, and you're right, everybody talks about how frustrating the team was last year offensively. They weren't bad. They were middle of the pack offensively. They were, of 30 teams, they were like 14th in this and 16th in that and 13th.
And, well, we'd been a little spoiled the year.
But we've been a little spoiled, exactly. Right. So, yeah, in 2021, they were probably the best offensive team in baseball. And it certainly felt like there could have been more, should have been more. You know, first half of the year, they didn't hit with runners in scoring position, as we all talked about over and over. But it just didn't add up to as many runs as it looked like it would. I do see a bit of a change in philosophy. It's such a small sample size. And I hope it helps. I mean, the first thing that has to go well is Springer, Guerrero, and Bichette have to have good years. Right. If they don't have good years, this team's not going to score enough runs to make the postseason. I think Justin Turner is going to be terrific. I really like the pickup. And then beyond that, it's hard to say, really. Like, is Kirk going to bounce back and be closer to 2022 Kirk? Is Danny Jansen going to be healthy enough? Is Dalton Varsho going to have a better year? How many at-bats will Davis Schneider get? And, you know, this lightning in a bottle, this unbelievable power that he has shown, you know, is he going to force their hand to become an everyday player? And then you've got guys like Ernie Clement and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and how much will they contribute offensively? I think there's a wide gap between best case scenario and worst case scenario for this team offensively. And to be honest with you, I don't know which way it's going to go. They've scored 17 runs in their two of their wins. Mm-hmm. And then in the other four games, I believe they've scored 5 runs total. Like, overall, the offense has not been great so far. Now, to be fair, you're facing the Rays and the Astros, yep. Right? And then the Yankees. So, you know, there's a chance about 10 days from now after the Colorado Rockies leave town that everybody's going to be in a good mood, you know, because things might have gone a lot differently. So I think the story will play itself out over the next few months.
I'm curious if you're hearing anything about Joey Votto as we talk about a lineup, you know, that might have some moving pieces here, what we're going to get out of it. You know, I've been saying all spring, I just thought it was cool that he was there. And if nothing else happened, we were going to get some pictures of him in Blue Jays gear and walking around spring training. He gets into the one game, he hits a home run, and then hurts his ankle going back into the dugout. It would be a great story to see him kind of get back in there and see if he could force his way into the lineup. Are you hearing anything about how he's coming along?
What John Schneider told us on Tuesday is that he has started defensive drills. So he has not yet started hitting. So he must have rolled his ankle pretty good, because I think it's been almost 2 weeks now, if I'm not mistaken. So he has started defensive drills. That's great. That's a step. But they've obviously got to get him into, you know, whether it's intra-squad games or minor league games or something like that, and see how the bat plays. So assuming everybody of relevance is healthy, if he's going to make the team, it's going to be at Daniel Vogelbach's expense. There's not room for both of those guys on the same team unless something happens to Guerrero or Turner. So, you know, I think it depends how Votto does in minor league games. It depends how Vogelbach does in major league games. So far, there hasn't been a huge role for Daniel Vogelbach, right? Like, you'd send him up there late against a righty to pinch hit for a Kiner-Falefa or maybe a Clement or something like that. But I think it's very situational. And I wonder not only about Vogelbach versus Votto, I wonder about just that role. Is that the best use of that spot on the roster? But, you know, obviously you want to give Joey Votto every chance you can to get healthy. He's very openly said, I'm willing to go and do whatever they ask me to do in the minor leagues if it means making it back to the big leagues. And, you know, he seems very motivated to be a Toronto Blue Jay right now. So I think we'll get a lot more information in the next 2 to 3 weeks, but nothing is imminent with Joey Votto.
When you talk about that spot in the roster, a Vogelbach or a Votto or something else, are you sort of referring to maybe they'd be better off with like a speedster who can come in and run, or what else might you be looking to do with that spot?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, if you know, look at how many at bats that person is getting, and is that the best use of it? I mean, I think Nathan Lucas is a major league player, and I think a lot of people think Nathan Lucas is a major league player. I think if Nathan Lucas were a right-handed hitter, he'd be on the team. But the roster, as it's currently configured, is not ideal for Nathan Lucas. He hit .366 at AAA last year. I think he hit .450 or something in the spring. And I think he could help this team. He can play all three spots, and he could run. But they don't really have a spot for him. So, you know, that's the only thing. They don't have a fourth outfielder. Like, they have the three regular outfielders, and then it's infielders who are going out to play the outfield. Certainly somebody like Kevin Biggio is very competent out there. He's gotten better and better out there. He's comfortable. So, you know, I'm just spitballing here. Yeah. So that, you know, time will tell, how that spot works out. You know, if they're down a run in the ninth inning tonight, and Ryan Pressly's on the mound and they pinch hit Vogelbach for Kiner-Falefa and he hits a 2-run homer, then it's a great use of the spot, right? I'm just wondering how many actual at-bats exist for this spot, but that's something we'll see over time.
On Thursday, the Blue Jays have an off day, then they're off to New York, and then it's home for the home opener. What do you, how do you envision, or maybe you've heard them talk already, what their plans will be? Will they stay on turn with the rotation? Will they give, will they move everybody up a day, or will they give kind of just leave it where it is in order to get who they want at, to pitch that home opener?
No, they'll stay on turn. So I actually, so that would be Berríos, I guess, right? I think would get the home opener. They'll stay on turn. That'll give Gausman an extra day before his next start and the next one after that. So they're going to use these off days and stay on turn.
Yeah. Do you like that strategy? I like Berríos has had a home opener before. It's not to say he shouldn't have another one, but you know, you could, I guess that would land you on Bassett if you moved it, or maybe you'd end up with Francis. I'm going the wrong way, but. Do you like the idea of giving it to Berríos again?
Yeah, I like the idea of staying on turn, to be honest with you.
Enough.
So, yeah, I think there are bigger things at play here. So, and I mean, if Berríos was your choice to start opening day, then Berríos certainly can be your choice to start the home opener. I think he's earned that. So I think for every reason, you just kind of leave it the way it is.
And, you know, if we look quickly at the bullpen here, it came into the season a little bit beat up, and it's been hard to get a handle on how they might want to use this bullpen, because so many games in both directions have not been close, right? We've seen the Jays score a lot and then get scored on a lot. It looks like, based on what we saw on Tuesday, Chad Green perhaps predictably would be the closer. But how long do you think they're going to be without Swanson and Romano, and what do you think of what they have until they get back?
I think they have still a decent pen, but you can't take two arms that good out of the bullpen, and it's not going to hurt you eventually, obviously, because even if, you know, Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green can fill in for Romano and Swanson, now who are you asking to fill in for Green and Garcia where they were, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there's a trickle-down effect. But Swanson and Romano have both been on a bullpen mound. They're relievers, so you don't have to really stretch them out. You just have to get two, three appearances under their belt. I think best case scenario is maybe late in the homestand, not the Seattle series, maybe not even Colorado. It would be great if it was for the Yankee series at the end of the homestand. But I don't know. I think if anything, I think they'll be a little cautious. That's the way, you know, this organization has done it in the past. So if not by the end of the homestand, hopefully by the next road trip to San Diego and Kansas City.
There's a new kid on the block calling games on the radio. Have you got a chance to get to know him at all? Or
yeah, I'm familiar with him. So Ben is having a great time, and I think he's doing a great job. He had a great experience in spring training, filled in on TV for me as well a little bit. So, and he's you know, getting to know people, you know, learning how to get into a clubhouse, talk to players, interview people, grab coaches, grab John Schneider when he needs some information. So he loves it. He's wanted to do this, this being broadcasting, since he was like a little kid. He went to Syracuse University to the Newhouse School, which is a great broadcasting program in the U.S. He's worked in the Cape Cod League. He did a year with Fort Wayne in the Midwest League, and then did 30 Blue Jay games last year. So he's still getting his feet wet. He's still learning, but he's having a ton of fun. And as a dad, it's obviously fun for me as well.
You giving him any tips? You trying to kind of steer clear and give him a little room to do his thing? How's that kind of dynamic work?
A tiny bit of tips here and there. Not very much, honestly. And now, obviously, if he's doing a game, I'm doing a game at the same time. So I'd have to go back and listen to it if I wanted to hear something. But, you know, every now and again, I might hear like a highlight pack or something like that. And or he might have a question, but really much, much less than you would think. We did a fair bit of that the last couple of years when our schedules were a little bit different, and from time to time. But I want him to you know, be his own guy, right? And,
sure.
And to forge his own path. So, but always available to for, you know, a little chat if he needs one.
Well, hopefully down the road, as the season gets going a little bit, you'll put in a good word for us, and maybe he'll join me here on the show as well.
Sure.
But Dan, I always appreciate you making some time for me, and no doubt I'll come knocking again later in the summer. But thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy New York, and we'll look forward to another summer having you on our TV.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much. Have a good one.
There goes our friend Dan Schulman. It was a quick one today, but you got to understand, we're, what, six games into the regular season at this point? Seven games in by the time you hear it. Dan and I talked on Wednesday afternoon, so we didn't yet know how that Wednesday night Toronto-Houston game was going to play out. So six games in for us, seven for you guys. Hopefully the Jays won it. You in the future get to know. I do not yet. We kept it quick. It was worth checking in. see what he thought on a couple of different things, see how things were shaken loose. Boots on the ground was certainly interested in hearing how things had been and his take on obviously his son, Ben Shulman, taking over the radio broadcast duties on the Fan 590. That's kind of a fun story as well. So always great when Dan makes some time for us, and we're glad he did it again. No doubt we'll touch base a little later in the season when there's a little more to talk about. You know, at this point, you're trying not to jump to any conclusions. You're trying not to form any hard and fast opinions 6-7 games into a 162-game season. So thank you to Dan for doing that. Like I said, go back, check out episode 1285. That was our pal Steve Bunda. Lots to get to with him. 1286, Rob was back in here. Lots of Blue Jays, lots of Sens, lots of NHL playoff race. And on Friday, coming up, Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet on WWE WrestleMania. The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins on Saturday night to set the stipulation for that Sunday night main event of Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns one-on-one for the WWE Championship. I can feel it through my headphones. I can feel it through the microphone. You are every bit as excited as I am. I can tell. Stick around on Friday. That's going to be a lot of fun with our buddy Kevin Mickey. It always is. Look, I get it. The wrestling thing, it's a little silly. That doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it. We can't talk to our buddy Kevin Mickey from Sportsnet, see what he thinks. That's what's coming up on Friday. Make sure you are subscribed on your favorite podcast. This is probably not the time to... Did I do anything there to tee you up, to get you excited for that one? Subscribe anyway. It won't be all about WrestleMania in the coming weeks. So just get subscribed. You're going to like it, I promise. And make sure you're following along on social media at TallCanAudio. For Dan Shulman, my name is Matt Robinson. I'm not sure I ever thought I'd get to use that sentence before. Thank you for listening to this edition of Tall Can Audio. We'll see you Friday. Yo, can Warriors continue?